From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A new documentary called Simply Exiled explores the disturbing story of what happened to Nicaragua's first daughter, Zoila America Ortega Murillo, the adoptive daughter of Daniel Ortega, leader of the Sandinista Revolution and the current president of Nicaragua. The documentary outlines the story that Zoila America has been telling for years of how her stepfather sexually abused and raped her. The film works in two time frames, the past, using archival footage from the time Zoila America made her accusation in 1998, and the present in 2016, when she is forced into exile in Costa Rica, as Ortega runs for the presidency for the fourth time, with the unconditional support of Zoila America's mother and Ortega's running mate. We go now to Costa Rica to speak with Zoila America herself. Welcome to the program. So you were expected to be in the Bay Area this week in California to for the airing of the documentary Exiled, but of course because of the coronavirus issue, you are still in Costa Rica. Let's begin by talking a little bit about the documentary Exiled. What is this film about? What hand did you have in putting this film together?
Well, the first issue is that it just about 22 years of impunity about my history in Nicaragua. In 1998, I didn't have the right for having a judicial procedure. I didn't have the opportunity to demonstrate my story. And for me to do the documentary was in first step to leave something to my kids in terms of the story told in by us. And after that, the process of the producer implies in some way an act of justice too, because when you are believed for the community, for other women, for other people in other parts of the world, it can be a kind of legitimizing your trust, your reality, the history itself. So, and for me, it has been an opportunity to show up with my story, but saying that the impunity have made that the violence didn't stop with making public my story. Now I am part of the whole Nicaraguan people struggling against a dictatorship who had been violence, in my case of sexual abuse, in my case of impunity, but now with all my country in many criminals' way.
Right. And I want to definitely get to the political unrest in Nicaragua right now and link it to your struggle. But going back to the story of what had happened to you these days, when women talk about rape and sexual abuse, we tend to take them seriously in a way that we didn't just a few years ago. When you first spoke out in 1998, what was the reaction, particularly from the left? Because, of course, Daniel Ortega was, and still to some extent, remains a hero of the left.
Yes, my story is emblematic in some way for the left, because I think the big fail that the revolutionary process had was this kind of division between your political principles and your personal life. Political was everything. Political was like a mission in your life. It's a kind of fundamentalism, which for me to have two lives. When I made public my story, it was a kind of ethical test to everyone, because everyone felt that it was the dilemma. Is difficult. I made a kind with my public, when I made public my history, I create a big dilemma between people from the left, because they felt that they had in one hand their political loyalties, by the other hand, the word of a woman in the kindest is, and in their ideology, political was everything, but political never include to be coherent in your personal and political life. So this dilemma, I think I put in their hands of the left parties and movements, because the reaction was, we need to be together for confront this woman. They didn't had or take the time for thinking about it. They resigned to listen to me, but because they only wanted to continue looking at the political idol. But for me, which was the big lesson, is that it was not only the position of the Sandinista party, and even it was not only the position of my mother. It was the same position from the left party, from the church at that moment. And are there other political actors in the scenarios, because they needed to be together denying what I have done. I confront the whole power in terms of this alliance around politics, by that time were more important than principles, than values, than this ethical standard of gender, which is for me very important now to recognize this challenge. But it doesn't imply that it doesn't exist.
Let me ask you about your mother, Rosario Murillo, who is now vice president of Nicaragua. What was her reaction when you first started speaking out about the sexual abuse and rape that you faced at the hands of your stepfather?
Well, she knew from the very beginning, and part of my legal proofs, evidence, was my aunt, who in 79 confronted her, saying what was happening.
And so your aunt would be your mother's sister?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. She was living with us in exile at that time in 79, and she confronted her. And she didn't want to believe, and she claimed about it. And 2 or 1.5 years after, my mother came to blame me for the abuse, and I was just 12 years old. So she, from the very beginning, decided not to believe, to make me guilty. And it was like to be with the side of power for a lot of things. And it teach a lot about what mother needs to manage when they have to see. But what made worse the situation is the power and how she negotiates the scheme of political power. And it was like her revenge against people who during the revolution never gave her the place that supposed to have for her. So it's how a situation can be negotiated by politicians, but by personal history, in this case of my mother, for solving personal problem. It's not so easy to have your husband as a pedophile. And when you recognize to decide to solve it, to have in a very big revenge of everyone. And this is very hard.
Tell me about why this film that exposes and tells your story called Exiled, why this was so important for you in terms of being a mother yourself. You have a son, I understand?
I have three kids.
Three kids, I see.
As I have told many times, to be a mother was my challenge in a way of how you build your identity as a mother, not having a good experience. And for me, this to make the documentary, which it's a challenge for me to be a mother in a way that not having a good experience with my mother, how to build your identity of a good mother. It has been a whole learning process, which involves my kids, who have been a wonderful teachers. But the exile time have been my hardest proof of a mother in terms of how my kids, this time of violence, who expulsed every one of my kids from Nicaragua. It has been the hardest consequences that I have had for my story. So the cycle of violence reached them. And of course, the documentary made clear how 20 years after the political persecution is continuing the situation of violence, and made an explanation about his power. But at the same time, my son, the youngest, because he is the only one who lives with me now, we can't be together in this process. My other kids are oldest and they need to take care of themselves. As I told you, the big surprise for me was when my kid, Giordano, who is part of the documentary, say, "Mom, this is my story. I am my story too. I don't want to be hidden. If we need to show our life and it's our struggle and it's our attitude for transforming this experience." And the documentary show that we can overcome that and we can continue the struggling, but not resigning to be happy and to have good moments and to continue growing up. It's a mixed story.
So I understand that as the documentary production began, we started seeing the political unrest in Nicaragua. Let's draw the links between what you know of your stepfather and your mother, and what now increasing numbers of Nicaraguans living in the country see about their president. How do you explain to somebody who hasn't been, you know, these days all we hear about what's happening in Nicaragua is during the Democratic presidential debate when Bernie Sanders is accused of praising the Sandinistas many years ago. But how do you explain what is happening now in Nicaragua?
Well, it's part of the developing history, which start with my situation. I was the first symptom that Daniel Ortega would be an abuser, and because when you stop abusing a girl of 9 years old, who was my case, you can expect something different. And this abusive behavior was the point of a start. And what happened after is that the impunity around my case made a model for the society in a way that we have a pact of impunity between a lot of political actors, which permit that Daniel Ortega took the power again. Because when I made my public speaking about Daniel Ortega, he wasn't president. He got power enough for being president again, being stronger with this impunity pact. And the whole political alliance started with that, but continued having the impunity as an issue for being part of the political power in Nicaragua. A lot of people, for other reasons, corruption, economic corruption, political corruption, taken the model of impunity of Daniel Ortega with my case, Start and Being Together, in the name of the false reconciliation or national unity. And they permitted that Daniel Ortega concentrated so much power that when they wanted to stop him, it was impossible because an abuser never stopped. As in the same way that he never stopped making damaged girls, there are another accusation of pedophiles around Daniel Ortega, but at the same time, he never stopped wanting political power. And a lot of actors gave him this political power. And now what we had is a concentration of power, and it's a process of destroying the institutionality of my country just for having control of everything. And what happened in April 2018 with the big protest was that they react as what they are, dictatorship criminals. They order to kill people. They order to clean the streets of people. So it's the same behavior, just that we can see it in the way that aggressors never stop to concentrate in power and never stop to try and to control everything. I can give you a simple example. What happened with coronavirus? Every country now is protecting her citizenships, is making rules. But Daniel Ortega and Rosario Murillo just a day ago invited to a big concentration, to big celebration, crowded activities for celebrating love. It's a kind of fundamentalism. It's more than religious. They think they can control a pandemic. They think in a very irrationality way. They think take control of everything. This process have been getting worse because fundamentalism is just feeding an ideology of them that they have now the right to control everything. It started in my body and now it's finishing with all my country. So it's very hard because now we need to deconstruct this political system, which maybe now is reflecting about the mistakes that they have done, but in the memory of the population, but in the memory of the people who have been victim of them, we feel that there are a lot of responsibilities that needed to be taken in aware of, give a transforming solution to hold this situation.
Why are you in exile in Costa Rica? Is there an official ban on your presence inside Nicaragua, or is it that you simply don't feel safe?
No, I have 6 years and a half in Costa Rica. If I can tell you, a lot of people, when I made public my story, told me that I needed to go out. And I resisted almost 15, well, almost 17 years with the stigma of the impunity, with exclusion for being silent, like the enemy of this political power. And living exclusion and isolating processes, but I wanted to be there. It was my right to be there. And but at the end, the issue was that happened recently to other people. They closed the NGO that I have been leading, an NGO working on human rights. They capture person around myself, and they went to my house with police to make fear to my kids. And I received some evidence that something can happen because armed people were with my go around myself with my kids around. And so I decided my first attitude was to go out just for some days, just for expecting that something will finish, and I can come back. I just bring a small bag with two or three clothes for some days, and I bring just my youngest kid, which was 8 years old, and we pass borders, and I thought I could come back, but the situation got worse. My oldest kid needed to be in different houses for being here. The situation just got worse, and I understand signs. People who were around me were not permitted to go into Nicaragua. And when I needed a procedure in the Nicaraguan embassy, they said that they didn't make any proceedings to me. I just didn't have rights like Nicaraguan citizens. So, of course, my mother managed the language of symbols very clearly. And as you have in some social media as a recorder, she was very clear to tell me that I can be in Nicaragua because the damage that I have done it's needed to be solved. They want a retractation. They want I resign my story, and I have preferred to have my dignity, even it's implied to restart over and over again my life. But coherence and dignity is the most powerful thing that you can have for managing your life and for healing the whole process that I have been living.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Zoila America. Is there a website where people can find out more about the documentary Exiled?
Yes. The trailer is just to, we don't have it. Well, the producer is the owner of the documentary, so she has their politics, but I think now you can find the trailer in YouTube and a lot of shows are going around.
And we'll post a link to the trailer as well as the film's website that I just found online. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you, and appreciate you telling us your story.
Thank you very much.
My guest has been Zoila America Ortega Murillo, stepdaughter of Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega, living in exile in Costa Rica, where she's been joining us. We've been discussing not only the story of her own rape and abuse as a child at the hands of the president, but also a new documentary about that called Exiled. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.